Come to order at 3:20 p.m. April 12th. With us are Representative Lynn, Representative Book, Representative Tammy Wilson, Representative Mike Chenault, myself, Chair Olson. We have a quorum to conduct business. The only item on the calendar today is Senate Bill 117. And presenting the bill will be Esther Cha from Senator McGuire's office. Welcome to Labor and Commerce. And please state your name and affiliation for the record and walk us through it.
For the record, my name is Esther Cha, staff to Senator Liesl McGuire. The bill that you have before you is Senate Bill 117, and the objective of it is to address the current loophole in legislation. And it allows large, high-volume cigarette sellers to price their cigarettes at less than the minimum price set by law if they can prove their actual cost of doing business is lower than the mandated minimum price. This mandated minimum price was set before in statute, and the only thing this bill addresses is the exemption. The original purpose of Article 7 in Title 43 was to prevent wholesalers and retailers to use predatory pricing practices to promote the sale of cheap cigarettes and use them as a loss leader. However, Alaska Statute 43.50.800C specifically states that a wholesaler or retailer that wishes to advertise, offer to sell, or sell cigarettes at less than the presumptive actual cost to the wholesaler or retailer must first obtain approval from the department. The department may grant approval only if the wholesaler or retailer provides proof satisfactory to the department that the wholesaler's or retailer's actual cost is lower than presumed. So for example, if you have a cigarette pack that is priced at $7 according to the minimum established in statute, and some retailer or wholesaler comes in and says, we can show you that the cost of doing business is $6.50, then they can price their cigarettes at $6.50, and all other wholesalers and retailers in the market can price at that lower price. And so you just apply to the department by brand and say, this is all my accounting practices for each brand, and then they look at it and say, yes, you can sell it for lower than our mandated minimum price, or no, you can't. So because of this one clause, the statute never really worked the way it was originally intended. So Senate Bill 117 repeals Alaska Statute 43.50.800 and replaces it with Section 6, which establishes Alaska Statute 43.50.810. And the changes that were made in the between the original bill and the Labor and Commerce bill were the percentages. And this was based on a compromise that was reached between wholesalers and smaller retailers. The original bill had what maintained the what was in statute, which was 4.5% wholesale and 6% at retail. And the CS changes the percentages to 2% at wholesale and 4% at retail. And so these percentages are higher than what is granted, what the granted exception is currently. And the price of cigarettes will probably go up slightly, but not an exorbitant amount. And the original reasoning behind fixing a minimum price for cigarettes was based on studies showing that increased prices work to help provide a financial incentive for smokers to quit, as well as to discourage new smokers from picking up the habit. But as I said, the CS won't have as exaggerated of a price. And it is possible that brands for which no application was made, they could experience a decrease if the retailers decide to lower their price, but we don't expect that to happen. And just lastly, by getting rid of a wholesaler or retailer's ability to apply for this exemption, the committee substitute for Senate Bill 117 would bring parity and balance back to competition. And that is my testimony.
I'd like the record to reflect we've been joined by Representative Newman and Representative Holmes, and I think Representative Chenault was introduced the first time, were you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, just checking. Any questions for Esther? Representative Booth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to put it on the record that the parties involved with this have been contacted, and that the compromise that was attained here was worked out through all of the parties concerned that this particular substance is involved with.
We did not talk to every single wholesaler or retailer in the entire state, but we did talk to the main larger parties, and they have been supportive so far. Through the chair, sorry.
Representative Wilson?
Thank you. How many exemptions have there been given?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I think that Joanna Bales from the Department of Revenue may be able to answer that, but I think the market share is fairly large and over 90%.
Follow.
Okay, because I don't really see this as a loophole, because they actually have to prove something to be able to change the price.
Right.
And so what's the loophole?
Well, the loophole is just that they, so one person can show that their price is lower, but then everybody else may price that at a lower price, and then the cigarettes could in effect become a loss leader for them, for the other wholesalers who cannot show that their business practices are priced at the lower price, if that makes any sense.
Not at all.
So I guess through the chair, so if, say, a company shows that their cost is $6.50, but everybody else, maybe their cost of doing business is $7 or $7.25 due to either accounting practices or just the amount of cigarettes that are being sold. And then the minimum price is set by statute based on a formula that says it's going to be $7. And then so a wholesaler or the person who showed that their cost is $6.50, they can price it at $6.50, and everybody else is therefore given that $6.50. So then they usually, in order to become competitive, price their cigarettes at $6.50 per pack, and therefore it becomes a loss leader, et cetera.
I have another question that's not a follow-up to that one. Glad I don't smoke, but anyway. Do we have any kind of studies that show that the formula or how we're doing this actually has discouraged people from smoking?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I think that, again, Joanna Bales from the Department of Revenue may be able to know that, but the committee substitute was based on a compromise. And so, as I said, the price won't increase dramatically. So it won't be like a dollar per pack. It might be just a few cents per pack. But I think that the original 4.5% and 6% was based on studies done by other, there are 23 other states that regulate the price of cigarettes. And they use those percentage points, I believe.
Thank you.
Yeah. Representing the consumers is Speaker Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know where to really start at on this thing. Esther, thanks for bringing it before us. Do you know, and if you don't, we can ask Joanna whenever she gets, is she going to be online?
Yeah.
Are cigarettes the only commodity in the state of Alaska the state of Alaska actually sets the price on?
Through the chair, Representative Chenault, I do not know the answer
okay.
to that.
Because I guess my you know, and I certainly understand I don't want any kids to smoke, trust me, I don't. But when you say it may only go up a little bit, you don't know whether the effect is 3 cents or a dollar or whatever. While I may agree that the higher cost of a pack of cigarettes does deter smoking, I'm just curious, and Joanna will probably answer this, and Mr. Chairman, I'd like to bring it up with her too, but do we do the same thing for alcohol? Is alcohol regulated? Do we set the price on beer and wine? I know we set the tax on it, but do we set the price on it? And you know, if we do that and we're concerned about people's health, then, you know, maybe we really need to get into the private industry and start setting the price on cheeseburgers and bags of French fries. I know it sounds kind of foolish, but, you know, I would be here to tell you that that alcohol and other commodities may cause as much or more mayhem in our society, and so whenever we continue to pick on one piece of society, then it does cause me some concern. So, Esther, thanks for bringing it up. I do have one amendment, Mr. Chairman. It's a small one, and I don't think it has much effect, but I would like to try to get some of Mrs. Bell's wisdom on this issue.
Through the chair, Representative Chennault, I completely understand your point of view, and I think what is important to point out with this, just this bill in particular, is that the minimum price was already established in statute, and so I'm not trying to suggest that we should start regulating other commodities. But.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, and Esther, I understand that. You know, my curiosity would be that if I'm a manufacturer and I can manufacture a widget for $6, because I'm thrifty and I can run my business to the best of my ability, but Joe down the street, because of his lack of knowledge or his lack of production abilities, it costs $7 or $8 for him to provide that same widget, then what we're saying here is that irregardless that the state thinks that the price of that widget should be the higher end, and that that the consumer should have to pay for that. And in my opinion, that really, well, I don't know, maybe that does help the guy that can produce it for $6.50, because the state's going to give him an extra 50 cents a pack for every pack that he sells. So maybe that's not a bad idea for the more cost-effective pack of cigarettes in this instance.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. Suggesting we introduce progressivity to
the I'm thinking about it. I'll have to work on that amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions? Representative
Follow-up residents. Is there any other states that regulate the price like this on cigarettes?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, there are 23 other states, and I do not recall those 23, but if you would like, I can provide that information to the entire committee after the meeting.
And follow-up? And do they do on any other commodity besides cigarettes, like alcohol?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, and that I do not know. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any further questions? We have an amendment to the bill, and I would entertain a motion to adopt it for purposes of discussion. S. Dot one, bullet.
Sir, adopt amendment number one.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Do you want to walk us through amendment number one?
Okay. I believe the amendment just changes the that if the manufacturer, which is, they state a price, and that is what the price of the minimum price is based on. So it just provides that they will notify the department at least 3 days rather than 10 days before a price change occurs. It just shortens that time period so that resellers or wholesalers, I believe, can sell the cigarettes at the new price based on the price change after 3 days rather than 10 days.
So with the changing increase to change, are you implying that the price could actually drop?
Through the chair, I'm not that sure about
just wondering why they're changing it.
Or they can make more money.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Chennault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What it would do is it would take a change from 10 days to 3, prior notice that the manufacturer would have to give to the state in order to increase the price of their cigarettes. So instead of a manufacturer announcing today that they're going to increase the price of cigarettes and then having to wait 10 days to increase that price, the amendment would take and basically change that 10 days to 3.
Representative Holmes.
If I read it right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
My reading is the same as the speaker's, but except with the other addition of the question you asked. It looks to me like it used to be they only had to notify them if they were going to increase the price. Now they have to notify them if they're increasing or decreasing the price. It looks like that's the other change in here.
I was just curious as to whether we're contemplating the price, whatever increase.
I think that would probably, through the chair, Representative Holmes, I would assume that it's at the manufacturer's, I guess, discretion as to whether or not they increase or decrease the price. And then, so this would just change it, as you said.
So we'll have flexibility in case we have cigarette
right.
orders at yes. some point in time.
Yeah.
Representative Wilson.
I just love bills like this. So what would be the benefit of this amendment?
Through the chair, I did not offer the amendment, so
I guess I did. That's right. Myself. Whose amendment is this then?
Do we have anybody in the room? I see somebody behind us that apparently is willing to talk about it.
Come on
up, Bob.
I have a question for the sponsor.
I'll turn you back up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Robert Evans, lobbyist for Altria Corporation. And what this does, Alaska is the only state in the nation that actually has a 10-day notice provision. And what we, what happens is, under the 10-day notice, the manufacturer has to contact DOR 10 days in advance they're going to increase their prices. But the wholesalers and retailers that are waiting for the product can't get it for another 10 days. And so it messes up shipping and commerce, and what we're trying to do with this is shorten the time from when an announcement of an increase is made to DOR, that then the retailer or the wholesaler can get the product in short order and enable to be more efficient in its distribution of product.
Did you get that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I got it. So we're changing it. Okay. I'll let Representative Fuko first.
Yeah.
I'm still going to think about this one.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Robert, great to see you today. First chance I've ever had.
I don't think I've ever seen him testify either.
I don't think so. I was, this is a very brief amendment, and it does a couple things. It talks about, a notice being, a week's difference there. It also talks about change. And it used to say increase.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering why it's important that the word change go in there, because is there ever going to be an opportunity for the price of cigarettes to go down? Through the chair.
Mr. Representative Booth, through the chair. In fact, they did have a reduction, I think, like within the last year in the actual cost of cigarettes. My experience anecdotally, and I don't smoke, but as I understand it, I rarely have seen it happen. But I understand that it did happen recently.
Was that reflected at the consumer level?
No, it wasn't, Mr. Chairman. I buy them months ahead of time.
Any further questions for Mr. Evans? Representative Wilson.
Canada.
Okay, so when you change it, or the increase happens, or decrease, whatever happens, do you have to get certain permission or show anything, or you just do it?
DOR, under the minimum pricing statute, DOR, and I think it was mostly the wholesalers when this bill was passed, wanted to be able to know as much in advance when the price of cigarettes would rise. And as it's turned out, they are not in objection either, because they're introducing this bill and, as I understand it, agree with this amendment at this point. DOR needs a couple days, according to what I've, in prior conversations I've had with Ms. Bales, a couple days to to just notice the change in price. It's, as I said, this is the only state in the nation that does it. It has a 10-day, where you have, the manufacturer has to let DOR know that the price is typically going to increase. And then the problem for the manufacturers is that then they have to wait a ten days before they can ship. And it's a matter of marketing, shipping. It actually has some impact on promotion, but they, promotions, but they can deal with that. It's just a hassle for them. And there's no, I am not able, frankly, to articulate a positive public reason why there was ever a 10-day notice in the first instance.
Thank you.
Representative Holmes.
Mr. Chairman, I was following up on that answer. It's actually not a question for Mr. Evans. I was just wondering if at some point we could have revenue weigh in.
Oh, we have Joanna coming up shortly.
Right. That's all. Okay.
Thanks again, Bob.
Thank you.
I think we have one question for the sponsors. Representative Esther.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Newman.
Esther, I was just going through some of the information that you handed out, support information. This campaign for tobacco-free kids. And it talks about average retail price per pack increasing. When you see basically from 2000, it just skyrockets. It doubles. Is that pretty much because of the cost of business going up because it's just more expensive to do businesses, or do you think that's mostly because of government putting more taxes on for sin tax type taxes, or what do you think the jump for that big jump is? Government?
Representative Newman, through the chair, I am not quite sure about this. This may be a question, but I believe better answered by perhaps Joanna Bales, or this was an attachment given to me by somebody who wrote a support letter, and I don't know if they are online today or not, but I believe part of it was because of increased taxation, and so just the overall prices of cigarettes increased, but I can find, yeah.
And Esther, doesn't quite a few, I don't know, but I think other communities, cities and such also put taxes on cigarettes to try and increase revenue. I ain't quite figured out if they try and increase revenue or if they're trying to decrease smoking or what the thing is. I think the revenue is sometimes a whole lot more than the other way around. But cities also have the ability to put on whatever taxes they want, $1, $2, $3.
Representative Newman, through the chair, I believe you are correct in saying that states as well as municipalities and cities, they can increase the tax or decrease the tax at their will. And I would imagine that is more related to revenue, but perhaps Department of Revenue would be.
And then they all, if I may, Mr. Then Esther, I think also too, there's communities that say where their local governments have actually taken it upon themselves to tell business owners, bar owners, restaurant owners, that they can or cannot allow smoking in their own businesses? Is that
Representative Newman, through the chair, if you're asking whether or not certain areas can designate whether or not in their city or county, et cetera, that restaurants or bars cannot smoke, I believe that is correct. But this is not what this bill is.
I'm trying to set a standard here with the fact that government, because these are cigarettes, or I believe alcohol is somewhat, not quite as intrusive, but government's really stepped in on an industry. Right. And I think it's probably stepped in on this industry more than any that I can think of.
Representative Newman.
Because it's very politically correct. Now, even our state of Alaska gets involved in the Department of Revenue and hiring people to do this and stuff. And just where does it all stop with, you know, government intrusion into industry where you have an agricultural product that's perfectly legal to grow in the United States of America. A lot of farmers made livings on this. Right, wrong, or different, whether you enjoy smoking or think it's right or correct, I just kind of have issues with the government being involved with a project like that. I don't condone smoking. I don't smoke. but I just have an issue with the government getting involved, even our state of Alaska to this point. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Holmes, is your question for Joanna Bales pertinent to the amendment or the bill?
To the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Joanna, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Holmes has a question for you pertinent to the amendment. Do you have it in front of you by chance?
I do.
Welcome, and could you please state your name and affiliation for the record?
Yeah, for the record, my name is Joanna Bales. I'm the Deputy Director of the Tax Division.
Thank
Representative
you.
Holmes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's fairly straightforward. My question is just whether or not the Department of Revenue has a position on the amendment or any problem. We've been heard testimony that it may take Department of Revenue a couple of days to process these, but that maybe the amendment's just fine. I just wanted to get the official position of the Department of Revenue on the amendment.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Holmes, we don't have a problem with the amendment. We've found over time that we've been able to adjust our prices. We do need to make a calculation whenever there's a change in the manufacturer's prices. That 3 days is plenty of time for us to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just thought we might as well have that on the record since we had Joanna available.
Any further questions for Joanna on the amendment? We'll bring her back on the bill later on if we need to. Thanks again, Joanna.
Okay.
At this point in time, I'll lift my objection to the amendment, but is there any further objection to the amendment? Seeing none, amendment number one passes. I believe we have a second amendment. Oh, we don't?
Nope. I won't offer it, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, got my undivided attention.
You have a clue?
So
maybe I'll offer.
I won't offer it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Yeah, let's see. Any further questions for the sponsors, representative, before we go out to outside the building?
Do we have, Mr. Chairman, do we still have the department on to answer the question that...
We've got Joanna online for any questions.
Well, regarding any other commodity or item or whatever that we actually initiate price control on in the state of Alaska.
Ms. Bales?
Yeah, through the chair. As far as I know, we don't. This is the only commodity that we do set price on. And I don't know if this is an appropriate time, maybe just to give a little bit of history of where we are. Would you like me to do that, Mr. Chairman?
Certainly.
Okay. Basically, what I'd like to point out is the reason that we have minimum pricing is back in 2000, legislation that passed that required a cigarette tax stamp. And along with that stamp, we put some extra responsibilities on in-state distributors, out-of-state distributors as well, to stamp product. Well, for the in-state distributors, this was quite a hefty sum of money that they had to pay in order to buy stamping machines and things like that. For the out-of-state distributors, which commonly are just our larger stores within Alaska, both wholesale and retail, they already had stamp machines, and so their investment wasn't as large as it was. Well, in fact, it was very minimal compared to the in-state stampers. So this was something that actually the in-state retailers and distributors wanted minimum pricing just to help them offset that cost of cigarette tax stamping that they had to undertake. They wanted some assurances that they wouldn't be undercut by some of these larger out-of-state distributors. That was one of the reasons. And it was also embraced at that time by the legislature from the standpoint of not allowing cigarettes to be used as a loss leader, specifically in some of the what we call the big box stores. So I just think it's important for this committee to understand that this the minimum pricing statute that we currently have was something that was requested by the in-state cigarette distributors.
Representative Chenault?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joanne, could you tell us what the minimum price per pack of cigarettes that the state charges now? Or what it's set at?
Speaker Chenault, it depends upon the brand of cigarettes. So each manufacturer, and for all their brands, they have a different rate. And so, I mean, I can tell you right now that, let's say, for a...
About a pack of... How about a pack of Camel filter wides?
Camel filter wides. The minimum, and then it also depends upon where you're selling those, because we also add not only state taxes but local taxes. So in Anchorage, the minimum price on Camel wides is about $70 a carton.
Okay. Where's the cheapest place in the state to buy them?
Through the chair. The cheapest place, Speaker Chenault, would be $54, and that would be outside of those areas that have their own tax. So that would be outside of Anchorage, Juneau, the Matsu Valley, the city of Fairbanks, Sitka. All of those places have their own tax. So if you're buying the cigarettes outside of those areas, then you don't have the taxes that are imposed by those municipalities.
Okay.
And Fairbanks, North Star Borough, we tax the whole borough, not just the city. So don't come to us.
I'm not going north to get my smokes, no. Joanne, thanks. No, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Wilson.
So this stamping you're talking about, so does that occur any longer?
Representative Wilson, through the chair, yes, it does. They are still required to stamp cigarettes.
Follow up. And so how much does that cost somebody to do?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I mean, it depends on the type of machine that you get. Some of the machines do a lot more for you, like they actually open the cartons. Well, they open the cases, and then they open the cartons, and then they re-glue them. So that's a good question, but these machines, I think, can run anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000.
Wow. Follow-up, I think. But don't you think it sends a very weird message on that cigarettes are in a whole different category than anything else that may not be good for our health?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson. Boy, that's an opinion. The problem that we have with cigarettes, I mean, everyone talks about the regulation of minimum pricing. This product is so highly regulated already, I mean, federal and state, with just the taxes that are put on it, the ingredients that are allowed to be in it. Right, we also have fire safe cigarettes that now are required to be sold in the state only. I guess the question is, where do you stop? But really, for cigarettes, this particular regulation on cigarettes is actually pretty innocuous compared to the rest of it.
Okay, follow up, sir. Okay. So part of the other part of the premise of doing this is so that youth don't smoke, which we already know youth have more money than we do, at least mine do. But if that's still the case, let's say that is the case, couldn't we just get rid of this whole bill, I mean just the regulation completely, and I'm not necessarily in favor of this, but I have to put it out there that we could just tax it even more if that was really the purpose?
Representative Wilson to the chair, I mean, as I said, really the purpose for doing the minimum pricing initially was the concerns that the in-state distributors had on this extra cost, and then they were concerned they would be undercut by the big box stores. They would have to start stamping, and they already were struggling to compete with some of the larger stores anyway, and then the state was putting this extra burden on them. So that was really the original intent. I mean, obviously, it was embraced by everyone who wanted people to stop smoking because they didn't want cigarettes also to be used as a loss leader. So it served those two purposes. But the main purpose was really the concern of the in-state distributors.
Follow-up, since I'm making so many friends here. And I'm not in favor of taxing. Just keep that on the record. But we keep saying that was the reason we did it. Do those reasons still exist?
Representative Wilson through the chair. Well, certainly they still exist. We still have a large number of youth who continue to pick up smoking.
Not youth smoking. We know that's always going to happen. Okay. No, I mean like the stamping, the part that we were trying to keep everybody even by making this minimum requirement. There's no other way to make life, I mean life's not even, equal anyway, but do you think it still meets those kind of qualifications?
Representative Wilson through the chair, I mean I think it does help with some of the smaller distributors. It definitely does. And you'll probably hear some public testimony from them where they do believe that this is a statute that is very helpful to them.
One last question. Could you just tell me, give me some examples of the small distributors you're talking about that we're trying to make their life easier compared to the big ones?
Representative Wilson, are you talking like the names of those distributors?
Well, unless there's another way you can do it without giving the names.
Well, we do have several in-state small distributors, specifically like in the southeast area of the state. Some, you know, just privately owned businesses who've been around, distributors that have been around for a long time, that as Alaska kind of opened up, we did see some of these larger stores come in, these chain stores that have affected their businesses. So, I mean, I can't provide by name. So
that's okay.
Due to confidence, yeah.
Thank you.
Joanna. Is the Department of Revenue supportive of this bill?
The department actually, yeah, we like this bill. We like this bill from the standpoint of basically what this bill does is it gets rid of the requirement that we currently have right now to audit anyone who comes forward and wants to show that their cost of doing business is less than those mandated minimums. And that's not a real easy task to do. I mean, we basically spend between 2 and 3 months conducting that audit and getting information from the company. And it would definitely, I think, administratively for both us and the company that requests that, this would make it much cleaner.
Well, thank you, Joanna. We're between a rock and a hard place at this point in time. We're going to lose a quorum in about 3 minutes, and so we can do one of two things. We have three people online. I believe they're all testifying in favor of this bill, but we can ask them one at a time. And I don't believe there's anybody in the room that cares to testify on this, and I can bring it up to a vote in a couple minutes, or we can bring it back on Wednesday. So I think we're going to go to the LIOs. And if you can, after I ask your name, can you tell us if you're in favor of testifying, in favor of the bill? And Mike Eldridge, Ketchikan?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, my name is Mike Eldridge. I am the small wholesale tobacco distributor that worked with Joanna, Department of Revenue, to originally pass AS 435800, which was an end of predatory pricing practice. So yes, we're very much in favor of the passage of SB 117. And I have testimony, but I certainly will defer to other.
Yeah, and if you could fax or email that up to the office, we can make it part of the permanent record. And thank you. Roger Hames? Hames?
Yes, my name is Roger Hames. I'm from Sitka. I'm a third-generation family-owned retailer here in Sitka. We have 4 stores. I have nothing to add to the bill other than say I'm in support of it. And would just, but no written comments, just that I would support. I feel it brings parity, and thank you.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. And is there anybody else online? Cliff Kramer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I'm Cliff Kramer. I'm the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Northern Sales Company. We are a diverse distributor here in Alaska that sells candy, snack, beverages, and, of course, tobacco products. And we definitely strongly support SB 117.
Well, thank you very much. There's nobody else online. And Madeline, are you going to testify today? Nope. With that, we'll close out public testimony and bring it back to the committee for discussion. Representative Newman.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move CS for Senate Bill 117, Labor and Commerce, version /S, as in Samuel, from committee as amended, with any individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Object.
Object. Roll call. Or would you like to state your opposition? Or?
Well, I can state my I will try to tell you my objection. We're not here to make it fair for everybody. I mean, I can't believe we even do this for one commodity and nothing else in the state. To me, I don't know why somebody hasn't had a lawsuit and said this is just not fair in that aspect. And So I don't think you can amend it or make it any better. I think it is what it is, and it's just wrong.
Actually, I think you answered your own question a few minutes ago when you said life isn't fair.
Yeah, it's true. So I'm not going to try to make it fair.
Any further opposition? Roll call, please.
Representative Lynn?
Yes.
Representative Book?
Yes.
Representative Holmes?
Yes.
Representative Newman?
Yes.
Representative T. Wilson?
No, you guys, we're not big government.
Representative Chenault?
No. Yes.
Yes. The bill passes, and we'll move forward. And with that, we'll adjourn. Don't forget to sign the paperwork on the